Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our present study is that of the relationship between Jesus and another person whose name was Bartimaeus. Now, there are three records of the meeting of Jesus and Bartimaeus. These records are not exactly alike in every particular, but there are no contradictions between them. It takes all three of the records to have the full story because one account may include information that another may omit. But taken together, we learn everything that God has considered important for us to know and to learn, and the lessons that are intended. Now, I want to read these three accounts to us, the first one being in Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I should do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. The second passage is in Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. And as they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, and saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But they cried the more, a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, Be of good cheer, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And when Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The third account is in Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Well, now Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem when he met Bartimaeus. Calvary was but 1 week away, and the end of his personal ministry here on earth would soon be upon him. By this time, his fame was widespread, and the people had responded to him with varying reactions, some very positive and receptive. Of course, there were others that were negative and hostile. As Jesus made his way toward the city, he knew what awaited him there. He had already informed his disciples, as we read in Mark 10, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them. And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, And the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Now as Jesus went from place to place, it was not unusual that he was followed by large throngs of people. This was because of his fame and his reputation for doing many miracles and good works that preceded him. On the way, Jesus met the man Bartimaeus. Matthew reveals there were two men. Mark and Luke focus attention only on the one. Bartimaeus was not a ruler. He was not a religious leader. He was not a king. He was not a rich man. He was a beggar, and a blind beggar at that. Begging was about the only means of livelihood that existed for such people at that time. But Bartimaeus heard the noise of the crowd and asked what it meant. He was told that Jesus was coming. Now, he evidently had heard much about Jesus before this time, as is evidenced by the events that follow. One point we do not want to overlook is that Jesus, even though in the midst of the throng of people, was mindful of even one. He showed concern for this single individual and demonstrated interest and compassion toward him. Being told that Jesus was coming along the way, Bartimaeus began to cry out to Jesus. The way he addressed Jesus shows that he considered Jesus more than just another man, more than just a prophet, more than just another miracle worker. He called him the Son of David. Matthew says he called him Lord. Now, the significance of this is in the fact that the prophets of old had foretold that the Messiah that God promised would be of the seed of David. Additionally, the word Lord means master. There can be little doubt that Bartimaeus, even with the information about Jesus that he had, was already convinced that Jesus was the one that God had promised to send. Bartimaeus recognized he was in need, and he believed that Jesus had the power to provide what he needed. He also realized that he was helpless to do for himself what was needful. Therefore, he urgently and persistently sought for Jesus' help. Mark records how Jesus took note of his cry and called Bartimaeus to be brought to him, and the meeting of the two was realized. Now, we, like Bartimaeus, friend, must realize that we have a spiritual need that we, by ourselves, cannot meet. We must understand, however, that Jesus has the power to provide. Like Bartimaeus, we must recognize him to be more than just another exceptional man, not merely a great leader or teacher or martyr for righteousness, but as his name indicates, he is the Savior, the Emmanuel, God with us. We must confess, as did Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We must be convinced, as was the centurion at the cross, "Truly this was the Son of God." We often refer to the people on Pentecost, and for good reason, because that is the day the Lord's church began. The people heard evidence concerning Christ, as was preached by Peter and the other apostles, and being convinced, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" This reflected their attitude toward what they had learned and their attitude toward Jesus. It reflected the realization that they were in need of that which Jesus provided. This same attitude of heart that people must have today, if they are going to be benefited by the Christ. And another prime truth we grasp from this account is that even though there are over 4 billion people in the world, there is not one of them for whom the Lord does not have concern. We may be inclined to think, because there are so many people, that God does not care for us as individuals, that his interest is only for the masses. Oh, it is true that God is concerned for the human family generally, but he is also concerned for each of us independently and separately. Even amidst the throngs that surrounded him, Jesus turns his attention to one man. He does not exclude the individual. As in Luke chapter 15, where Jesus is presented as the good shepherd who had 100 sheep and 99 were safe in the fold, he was concerned for the one that was lost. It is almost beyond our comprehension to understand the extent and the measure of the worth of each person, and the extent of the Lord's interest in each person. And we see the blessed reaction of Bartimaeus when Jesus called for him. He immediately came because that was his great desire. How unlike others whom we read, where we read of the teaching of Jesus about a man who prepared a great supper and who extended invitation to his potential guests, but one by one those who were invited began to make excuses and refused to come. Now the displeasure of the host in this particular case, representing the Lord, is seen in the comment, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." This found in Luke 14, verse 24. Many today, rather than desiring to come to Christ and take advantage of the opportunity when they are called, will make excuses on top of excuses for refusing him. Why cannot they realize that they are sealing their own eternal doom? But the study of Jesus and Bartimaeus would not be finished without noting the rebuke the people around Bartimaeus made toward him when he first began to cry out to Jesus. Why did they not seek to help the beggar? Why did they seek to silence the beggar? Well, we're not specifically told. Could it be that they felt he was only a nuisance? Were they ashamed of him? Possibly they had not shown proper concern for him themselves, and they were embarrassed at his condition. They may have felt that such a one as he did not deserve the attention of one like Jesus. Or regardless of their reasons, we see the sharp contrast between their lack of concern for him and the genuine concern that Jesus had for him. We must learn that anyone who would seek to discourage us from calling to Christ is not our friend. They do not seek our highest good. They do not have the concern for another that we all should have toward everyone around us. Regardless of who it might be, friend, and for whatever reasons, anyone who would influence you and discourage you from coming to Christ is your deadly foe. The power of Jesus was demonstrated when he said unto Bartimaeus, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" Upon being asked to grant his sight, Jesus touched his eyes, and Bartimaeus immediately received his sight. Why, certainly this was a miracle, another manifestation of Jesus that showed he was who he claimed to be. But the power of Christ and the performance of the miracle are not the only important lessons here and the information that we can learn from this event. This account displays certain principles of God's dealings with man that we must notice. Friend, just as Bartimaeus believed the information concerning Jesus and was convinced he was the Messiah, so must we. It is evident that sufficient evidence has been brought to the mind of Bartimaeus, and even though we do not know exactly what that evidence was or how he received it, it was convincing to him. We also have evidence given to us that is designed to convince us of the same truth concerning Christ. John wrote in John chapter 20, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." Romans 10 and verse 17 teaches that faith cometh by hearing the word of God. We have that word. We have the inspired record. We have the inspired testimony of the witnesses who were present on such occasions, even occasions like this one with Bartimaeus. It is important to notice that this assertion by John followed a conversation between Jesus and Thomas, the one who temporarily had doubts that Jesus had come from the tomb. He had said he would not believe until he had seen the nail scars and the wound in his side. Upon being granted opportunity to consider the evidence, he cried out, "My Lord and my God." Dear listener, God expects us to believe in Jesus as the Christ, but God has already provided sufficient evidence for our faith. And even though Bartimaeus was discouraged by others from crying out to Jesus, fortunately, Bartimaeus ignored the attempts to silence his quest for the attention of Jesus. Had he succumbed to their rebuke, he would never have been blessed. There may be those close to us in our associations who discourage us from following Christ. It may be a relative. It may be one who claims to be a friend. There may be those who would make you feel undeserving of the Lord's blessings. To be sure, none of us deserve salvation that He offers. But that is all the more reason we need to come to Him. This is why He came to this world. If we deserved what He offers, we would not even have need of Him. Some may ridicule you if you suggest following the righteous way after Christ. They may point out your sins and your weaknesses to convince you that you cannot overcome your transgressions. They fail to realize that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, Romans 5:20. Some might even persecute you in one form or another and do all that they're capable of doing to keep you from the Lord, even persuading you that if you try, you still cannot do His will. Some may attempt to convince you that one way is just as good as another and you just choose whatever you like. But we must remember that the Lord never invited anyone to do anything they cannot do. And He has invited all men everywhere to come to Him and to be saved from sin. And finally, once again let us be impressed that Jesus is concerned not with just the high and the mighty of this world, not just the rich and the worldly wise, but with the poor and the lowly. One of the marks that He is the Messiah is the fact that the poor had the gospel preached to them, Luke 7:22. It is generally the case that those who consider themselves to be somewhat in this world are not near so receptive to God's truth as those who are more humble and those of modest means, 1 Corinthians 1:26. This is because some rely too heavily on their own wealth, and others have no wealth upon which to rely. Therefore, they are more willing to hear the gospel. Dear listener, even now, our Lord, through the gospel message, is saying to each one of us that they are welcome to come to Him. So we send forth this same report to you as was given to Bartimaeus. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth for thee. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.